For those I haven't met, my name's Tim Schotts. I oversee the beef research program for the department. So for people that live in the top end, be pretty familiar with gamba grass. It's been pretty controversial. When it's not managed well, it is a hazard, a fire hazard, and a biodiversity hazard. But what this trial is showing is that if it's managed well, it prevents a lot of those issues. So gamba was introduced as a pasture grass and has spread across a lot of the top end. They estimate about 15,000 square kilometres. So it's all you know, if you look for it, you can see it all the way along the highway down to Hayes Creek at least. But and it's through the parks and everything. So even though it's, you know, it is declared as a weed, it's in places where it's going to be pretty hard, or if not impossible, to eradicate. So we need to come up with a better management plan. So this area here used to be known as the Badlands. And if we were here before 2018, when we started this, the gamba would be up over my head and there'd be very little else in between. So what happens with gamba grass is that when it's short, it's palatable and nutritious and the cattle graze it well. But once it gets above a certain height, they just sort of can't seem to eat it or don't, and it gets away from them. And then it becomes a hazard. And the issue is that it grows so tall and it's got a bit of a different profile to normal grass that it burns about four times hotter. And so that's a real danger to property, even people, and biodiversity as well. So it's a real issue when it's not grazed well. And it's also a real issue for just cattle production because they stop eating it once it gets tall and they don't perform very well at all on it. So what we've done here, instead of just set stocking, we've fenced this area. Initially, we had 180 hectares and we fenced it up into five little paddocks. And then what we do, we stock the whole lot at a stocking rate of two head per hectare. That's over the whole 180 hectares. So you've got a mob of 360 animals, but they're in one of those little paddocks. So it might be 20 head per hectare in any one paddock at one time, wherever the mob is. And so they really chomp it down. So you can see here behind me how the pasture looks when it's managed with that rotational grazing. There's no flowering and seeding. It prevents that. It stays short. Jamie and the crew here manage that as far as, you know, trying to keep the height, sort of calf height, to not much above knee height. And they probably move the cattle, depending on the size of the paddock, every couple of days to every 5 days. And what we've found is that instead of getting really poor performance and just tall gamba and nothing in between, that these paddocks are now quite productive. We started back in 2018. These were really tall, established gamba. We burnt it, and then you need to give it about 6 weeks before you start grazing it, just to let it come back a bit, and then start grazing it in rotational grazing. So just to give you a bit of an idea about how the performance is, the growth rates that we're getting on here, we've had young bulls in here and they range between about 0.53 and about 0.86 kilos ADG, average daily gain. So look, that's not up there with some of your better improved pastures. We get better performance off the buffalo and some of the other improved pastures, but it's certainly a lot better than what it used to be. You know, that might have been 0.2. So it's turned what was pretty much unproductive country into quite good productive country. And then you've also got the added benefit that, you know, it's preventing seeding, so it's preventing spread. And it's a win-win for the cattle production and for the environmental benefits. So we're just looking at the cattle weight gain data. I think what's happening is that in the really big wet seasons, and this has been one of them, that growth is actually lower than in some of the other years where there's been less rain and more sunshine. Certainly we've had enough rain in those years, but the cattle didn't grow as well this year. It's greened up a bit now, but we were out here about a month ago and it was sort of looked a bit duller and darker green and maybe a bit too wet. We just need a few more different years before we can make any really strong conclusions about that. That's just the gut feel that I've got. So yeah, average growth rate, you know, it's been about 0.63 over the 5 years, I think, that we've been doing it, kilo per day gain. So yeah, so that's basically what this trial is showing, is that we can use cattle to control gamba, stop its spread, but it's also a win-win for cattle production and stopping the spread. Are there any questions about the gamba and what we're doing here with it?
How many months grazing are you getting out of it?
Yeah, that's a good question, because you certainly don't want your whole property covered in gamba grass, because once you get into the dry season, it's basically got very little grazing value and you need other parts of the property you can move the cattle to. So the months, you know, it just depends on how long your wet season is, when you get your break in the season and when you get your last rain. But once it dries off, there's very little grazing value in here. What do you reckon, Jamie? When do we...
By end of May it'll be done, somewhere around that end of May. Like I say, started this year mid-November, and then one lot, and then the second lot of cattle come in on second week of December. Yeah, probably realistically 6 months grazing, just under 6 months grazing out of it.
Yep, and then we'd take the cattle out of here and won't bring them back till it's rained. So you certainly wouldn't want your whole property covered in it.
Tim, do you find any selective grazing, even with the gamba that short? Are the cattle still going for a softer grass first, or...?
You'll notice when you move them around, they'll graze everything else first, except for the gamba and then the wincassia, and then as you push them the last 2 days of the rotation, they'll actually take the top out of the wind as they're getting lower on the gamba, and your rotation gets shortened roughly. So at the start of the wet season, it might be a four-day shift, and by the end, it'll only be 2 days. It's just not the rest of the softer grass is another feed there from.
Yeah, so for instance, this paddock behind us, the front half's gamba and the back half's not, and yeah, they'd like to get up the back end of it first and then come up the front. So yeah, it's just going to be interesting talking to some of the, I don't have a background in pastures or plant physiology or anything like that, but talking to some people that do, they sort of wonder whether we'll start seeing a bit of rundown just because there's so much biomass that grows and then gets removed every year from the grazing.
How long is this continuing on for?
It's a bit open-ended at this stage. We sort of want to see how it will go for this sort of management and whether it does get run down. If we, you know, we're taking a lot of biomass and nutrients out of the soil every year. And then that question about how long these perennial tussocks will last. So look, it's just a project that we thought was important to do, and so we're funding ourselves. We don't have a external funding or a timeline with an externally funded project. So I guess we'll keep it going until we answer some of those questions or we need this country to do other work on. I guess the moral of the story is, you know, there are better grasses around, but for a country that was basically unproductive is now, you know, quite productive when managed in this way is what the message is.